From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, September 18th. I'm Abby Larico. A previous budget deficit, phasing out academic programs, enrollment. These had all been challenges facing Southern Illinois University Edwardsville administrators. With a recent bump in student numbers, though, the school's leader believes greener pastures are ahead.
I was very pleased when we were able to present a budget that was balanced for the first time since 2017.
St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer speaks with SIUE Chancellor James Miner about what's ahead. That conversation ahead on The Gateway. The city of St. Louis will not impose a temporary ban on data centers and instead move to refine existing rules to better respond to concerns over the developments. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri is following this.
Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer says a plan to use the city's existing permit process to tackle data centers will be announced later today, instead of a temporary ban on the developments. Last week, members of the city's urban design agency suggested the city either act quickly to change city rules or put in place a temporary ban while city staff perform needed research. Schweitzer says the plan will address the concerns about data centers without stopping new development proposals.
I'd say it's about moving thoughtfully, not rapidly. And it's about getting answers to the questions that we have, as opposed to just stopping everything, period.
Schweitzer says she worked with Mayor Kara Spencer, Board of Aldermen President Megan Green, and the city zoning staff to put the plan into action. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page could be facing additional scrutiny for a mailer sent during the April election. Longtime transparency advocate Tom Sullivan of University City announced this week that he'd filed a complaint with the Missouri Ethics Commission. He alleges Page failed to disclose the public funds he spent to campaign against Proposition B. The measure would have given the county council the power to fire department heads with 5 votes. Page has pleaded not guilty to criminal charges connected to the mailer and flyer. He says they were informative. Opponents say they encouraged a no vote. The new congressional map redrawing Missouri into more Republican-leaning districts is raising some legal questions. There's the issue of whether lawmakers are authorized to redraw the new lines when they did. Missouri's Constitution contains instructions about congressional redistricting after a census, but it doesn't say anything about drawing new lines in the middle of the decade. At least 2 lawsuits claim the Constitution's silence on the matter means the map passed last week is illegal. But Republican State Representative Bill Hardwick of Pulaski County disagrees.
So if I want to say the letter of the law, technically, are we reapportioning after the census? Yes. Does it make sense that there are no times which the legislature can come back and amend that statute after they passed it? No.
Then there's an error that could give hundreds of Kansas City voters 2 representatives in Congress instead of 1. According to the House bill detailing the new map, 1 voting precinct in South Kansas City is included in both the 4th and 5th congressional districts. State lawmakers got pressure on social media from President Donald Trump to pass the map as is, but Mark Gaber with the Campaign Legal Center says it would create districts with unequal populations.
You know, you can't tell from the text of the law which geography for this set of about 800 people goes to which district.
The Campaign Legal Center joined the ACLU in suing over the new maps last week. Governor Mike Kehoe has until October to sign the bill into law. Redistricting opponents are also gathering signatures to place the map up for a statewide vote in 2026. Members of Missouri Jobs with Justice and St. Louis labor unions rallied alongside striking Boeing workers last night. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports from the 7th week on the picket line.
What do we want? A fair contract!
Members of the United Auto Workers and Starbucks Workers United were among those who showed their support to IAM District 837 members on strike Wednesday.
And I'm simply here to support, to say, I've been there, I've done it, I know that feeling when you don't have that paycheck coming in.
That's Carol Johnson, a United Auto Workers member. She has been on strike multiple times and worked for a plant that closed in 2009. This rally came less than a week after the Machinist Union voted down its 3rd contract offer from Boeing. On Friday, members will vote on a union-proposed contract that makes changes to the 401k plan and wages and increases the signing bonus. The company has called the offer a waste of time. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
A shortage of school bus drivers and staff is leading to delays in the Francis Howell School District. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports.
Over 11,000 students ride the bus to and from school in the Francis Howell School District, but delays are still being reported to officials a month into the school year. Director of Transportation Jennifer Simpson sent an update to families on Monday, stating the district was down 27 full-time drivers and 4 bus route monitors. In the meantime, the district has tapped other staff members with commercial driver's licenses to help cover the routes. Francis Howell isn't alone in its transportation challenges. A national shortage of drivers surged after the pandemic and remains a challenge as drivers blame low wages and lack of benefits. The district is encouraging qualified drivers to apply on its website. I'm Heba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Southern Illinois University Board of Trustees will vote on the 2026 fiscal year budget this morning. The proposal for Edwardsville's campus marks the first balanced budget since 2017. That follows a $10 million deficit last year. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer sat down with Southern Illinois University Edwardsville Chancellor James Miner to discuss the school's improved financial picture.
So I think there are a couple of things that have contributed to it. One is that we had better than projected enrollment, which obviously helped with tuition and revenue, but it also helps with things like auxiliary services like dining and housing. The second thing that happened is we made a lot of progress on campus with respect to retention. In other words, the number of students who were returning for their second year ticked up, which also helped us in similar ways. And then, you know, I think we set out to really manage our operational expenses in a way that we hadn't previously. Some of that had to do with managing the personnel expense, operational costs for the university, which we were really focused on, and then generating revenue that we needed to balance our budget. All of this involved really difficult decisions by university community. But I was very pleased when we were able to present a budget that was balanced for the first time since 2017.
SAU administrators had proposed phasing out some of those majors and minors, physics, art history, music theory, some languages, to name a few. What did you all decide to do specifically with those after collecting feedback from faculty, students, and staff?
10 years ago, the university underwent the exact same exercise to assess its academic programs to ensure that we were making our investments in all the right places and making the very best use of the resources provided to the university. For whatever reason, the decision was made not to go forward with discontinuing some of the academic programs or minors or specializations. Fast forward 10 years, some of those same programs are still on the list. So the idea that this somehow was an irrational rush decision to cut is not accurate in this case. And so we have decided very carefully what programs should be on the list. And it was no surprise to us that the same programs, many of them that were on the list 10 years ago, are still on the list with too few graduates and accommodating or requiring resources that might be better used in other places. So if there are students who are currently in those programs, we will what is called teach out those programs. Students who are currently enrolled will be able to finish their academic program. It simply means we won't enroll new students.
At the start of the month, SAU announced that fall enrollment had gone up for the first time in 4 years. What's changed at SAUE?
I think we have been able to make the argument about the value proposition of earning a high quality, affordable degree. When I go into high schools, one of my messages is that a college graduate will earn $1 million more over their lifetime compared to a high school graduate. The second thing is that we had to rebuild our enrollment management machine. It was built for a different time in a different era. And that is far more digital. It's far more strategic. There's a lot of data science that now comes into play in terms of recruiting new students. And so I think we have done a better job of being much more strategic and amplifying our ground game as the population continues to decline and the competition intensifies.
That was SIUE Chancellor James Miner speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer. To listen to an extended interview, head to stlpr.org. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.